Welcome, Crononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Archie. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I have a cold.
That's Ari. Cold, and I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop.
You know, we're getting to a point where I look forward to the constant now. I'm curious sometimes. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes I don't know what's going to pop out of your mouth.
This was tough. There was nothing too weird or quirky about this movie.
Agreed. But before we get into that, can we talk about Ari's new husky cold voice? Say hi, Ari.
I don't sound like a husky.
Husky voice doesn't mean you sound like a husky. It means It's deeper and sultry.
No, I just sound more nasally. This is not sultry.
No, you're right. It's nasal.
It's a deep nasal instead of a high nasal.
Intense.
Hi, my name's Ari, and this is Todd.
I have a cobe. My nob is stubbed. I got a cobe. My nob is stubbed.
I do. I have a regular cold, and it's weird because, like, just to be sick and not have COVID.
It's what's the point? Either give me COVID or nothing.
Yeah.
Stop wasting my time.
Isn't it weird just to have a cold? Because though every time you catch a cold, you're like, oh, fuck. And then the next day, you're like, it doesn't seem to be getting any worse. And then the next day, you're like, is it allergies?
It's not enough to make you totally debilitated, but it's enough to make you kind of miserable. So Ari, we were both sick the past few days. And I will say that this movie, and this is not an insult to the movie or anything, this is us being cold, having a cold and being out of it. It took us 3 nights to watch this movie because at the 30-minute mark, I am just clunking out. We've been watching this at like 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m. Took us 3 nights to watch this film. And I'll give it like a little warning. We're going to talk about this movie, but some of this movie, I was in like a sleepy, not trying to fall asleep, cold days. So what I might have gotten out of this movie, it's kind of all very unclear. It's very unclear. It feels like I was on a drug trip.
What movie are we watching?
Speaking of movies, today in the present, we will be discussing 2067 from the past. You will listen to it in the future, which is now. 2067, not rated, 1 hour and 54 minutes from the great year of our Lord, 2020, directed by Seth Larney, starring Aaron Glennon, Ryan Kwanten, Deborah Millman.
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Got Ethan White, the star of this movie, Christian name Cody Schmidt McPhee.
Yeah.
Who, don't look at your phone. Look at me.
Oh.
Who is he?
Well, I recognized him from one film. I recognized him from The Power of the Dog.
I had to look this up. I certainly didn't recognize him from face. Fans of the hit, now defunct podcast Apocalypse Now know Cody Schmidt McPhee from The Road. He was the boy.
Oh, the boy?
From The Road.
Okay. I would not have picked up on that.
Nor should you have, but.
Thank you.
That's
a fun fact.
It is.
Two post-apocalyptic films.
Did he have an Australian accent in The Road?
No. He was just a little kid.
Did he talk? Yeah, he did. He did eventually.
Papa?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that was crazy.
So this was promised, at least trailer-wise, to be a future time travel movie. So we were all excited because time travel films rarely have future travel. We could probably list three, maybe, where they travel from present to the future.
Go for it, Scott.
Oh, the three would be Back to the Future 2, The Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2 goes to the future?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's other ones. We just can't think of them right now.
Can we just talk about how disgusted Kelly is in my top 10?
She finally listened to the episode.
I don't even think she's finished it yet. She like...
She tore you a new one?
First of all, she kicked my back door open and said, I've had to listen to you yammer on about Groundhog Day for 20 fucking years now, and you don't have the balls to put it on your top 10 list.
Wow.
Bullshit. And then...
On my list.
And then 10 minutes later, she yelled at me for not having Endgame on my list. And
I had Endgame.
We stopped.
And Ari had Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that's why she knew it, because it came up that it wasn't on mine right away. She doesn't care that it was on Time Pop's top 10. She was pissed at me for my personal list, my choice.
And that's it? Those are the only two things that pissed her off?
Well, we didn't get any farther because she shut everything down and we had to sit down and watch Endgame.
Wow. And then you watch Endgame and you're like, oh, she's right. You don't want to think of Endgame because it's a big Hollywood superhero movie. It's like a solid time travel film, but it is.
Yeah, no, it's
pretty fun. It's pretty great.
The only reason it didn't make my top 10 is to truly appreciate it. You have to watch all the other movies.
Yes.
So what?
And we let Ari get away with a Back to the Future 1 and 2. You're not going to let me get away with 23 Marvel movies.
I'm not okay with that still. I'm still not okay with that crime. That was a time crime. That was a time crime. Ari's going to be arrested by the time police. It's amazing we're talking this long and not saying whether or not we like this film, which I think is indicative of things.
Well, before we get into that, I've seen this movie before. I thought I maybe had, and it was like...
It didn't come out that long ago.
I know. I looked it up when I started to watch it. I'm like, I must have watched this in a drunken haze. Right? And... To find out that this movie came out, not only have I seen it, but I watched it after I got sober. So I like watched it with a clear head and I still...
We watched it in a cold haze.
Did you have any NyQuil in your system or anything?
No, I was just naturally out of it and exhausted.
So let's talk about the movie.
Let's talk about 2067, Ari.
So I had so many high hopes for this because as soon as I saw that they traveled to the future, I was like, yes, we're doing this one next. I'm super excited. And in a sense, they didn't disappoint, but also at the same time, it let me down a little bit. I kept saying, I was like, this movie is so close. It's so close to being like an awesome, solid movie. And it just missed the mark. Just enough for it to be really noticeable for me and just kind of like, man, this could have been so good. It was only okay.
Yeah, the beginning was good. In fact, I will say it was one of my favorite depictions of time travel. Like when they showed him going to the future, it got fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
His eyeballs rolling back in his head. He saw some weird, you know, psychedelic shapes. He was like in pain. Like, I don't feel like time travel should be comfortable for anybody. I feel like it should kind of tear us apart. And so when he did that, I was like, this might be one of my favorite versions of that. And then, like, I agree with Ari. I feel like it was almost there. And the actual, like, animation and the idea of the future without oxygen is pretty good and realistic. And some interesting mysteries in there and good effects. And then I said it to Ari. I got this video had the feeling, the movie had the feeling of, like, two guys at a sleepover trying to do make-believe. Like, they're just wandering around into outside, then wandering around inside, then like, and then just crying and just bringing drama where it didn't seem necessary. And then not a lot happened. And then at the end, they reveal like a small amount of plot, what happened with his dad. But I don't feel like a lot happened in the time of this film.
Yeah, I felt like this movie could have been like 30 minutes shorter.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie, if this movie comes out in 2005, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's pushing the genre forward. Like, it's doing a few weird things. But in 2020, you gotta add another loop. Like, you gotta go through the time machine a couple, like, you gotta fuck things up a little bit just to go to the future, basically have them solve a mystery, basically is all he does. Goes to the future, solves a mystery, and it was...
Wow, Desmond doesn't even like it. I mean, you really have to.
Yeah.
You didn't like it, Des?
I liked it, but
it's okay.
It's one of those movies that's like, because they didn't try a little bit harder to make me love it, I like it less.
there's some interesting concepts that we'll get to talk about.
Yeah, they did. They did a couple of time travel things. They did some time travel shit. So it's hard to hate. No, the reason why I was pausing so much is I kind of want to. Well, let's do a quick plot because I want to get into the mechanics of this movie.
Desmond's like my mother is with restaurants.
Do tell.
You could take my mother to Denny's. She'd be like, oh, this is amazing. These crackers, the saltines are so good. You take her to a fine dining restaurant, you take her to McDonald's. She's just like, oh, this is incredible. There's two restaurants that this is awful. But besides that.
I have to see you spit in my food.
Yeah. So you're still in that with time travel films.
Your mom and I should go out to dinner sometimes.
Should. I'll give you her number.
I'm very easy to impress. when I don't have to cook, I'm happy.
This movie received a 32% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it seemed to have gotten some initial good feedback, but then the more people sat with it.
Here, I just want to read. This was from Dennis Harvey of Variety. You can tell 2067 has some rather lofty aspirations, but its ways of realizing them are too frequently pedestrian, from the banal dialogue, the notion that our savior might ultimately need reassuring that daddy really loved him.
Maybe that's why I like time travel so much. It's all daddy issues.
John DeFore, The Hollywood Reporter. It has a couple interesting ideas up its sleeve, but doesn't know how to reveal them.
Yeah, it just like missed the mark. It was... I mean, we've never seen something like this, right? We've never seen someone, the initial travel is going into the future. And so for the concepts, for the laws of this world that they've created, it's one timeline and it's ripple effect.
Right.
Well, that's what I wanted to get into.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Because it's because we see his skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it loopy at first? Or not loopy, but it's not.
No, he's not stuck in a loop because he changes it. Oh, but it happened that way.
So he goes into the future, right? They get a message. They turn the machine on and they're sending out what they called pings, right?
Yeah.
To find out if this machine.
No, it's not a loop.
This machine has oxygen at some point in time, right? They get a ping back that there's oxygen, and then they get a message that says, send the main character, right? Ethan White.
That's it. That's all they get.
Yeah. And so Ethan White gets into the machine and goes into the future. And so it's I don't know if we've ever seen a movie before where, I mean, we haven't, because it's a future. They built this machine and then they waited 400 years and then they sent someone through to that same machine just in the future, which is really interesting. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that is true. That is very cool that they waited, or I guess they didn't wait because they didn't have to wait. But
yeah,
in theory, the machine sat around for 400 years buried until...
As long as they built the building in which the machine could be safe and could survive for however many years, you know, hundreds of years, they could turn it on. They could ensure that the power source for this machine was always active. They technically with this, you know, in this universe, they could go 600 years in the future, 1,000 years in the future, if the machine, the building, and the power source were all secured, which is a really interesting concept.
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. We will be back in a moment.
I'm going to do a quick rundown just so everyone knows where the fuck they are. And then we'll get it done. So 2067, it's 2067. The Earth is terrible. There's no trees left in the world. There's no oxygen. So some company is creating a synthetic oxygen that is making everybody sick. So they're developing a time machine, which we've talked about, so they can just let it sit there and then ping it until word comes back that things are better. On Ethan White's 8th birthday, his father puts a terrible device on his arm that makes him bleed, a terrible bracelet on his arm that obviously punctures the shit out of the kid's hand. He bleeds a lot, and he has this bracelet with a red light on that he basically has to wear forever. That night, his father, he doesn't know what happens to his father, but his father disappears and his mom dies and this guy saves him. And this guy ends up being his best buddy and his savior. So they're now living together. So this all starts, I don't know, 20 years, you know, 2047 or something. And they call Ethan White into this, they call him up to the top floor, which he's never been in, because him and his friend, his savior Jude, they just work in the bowels of the nuclear reactor to make sure that the city has power, which they're the last city, I think, on Earth that even has power at this point. And they, that's when they say, we've been pinging the future. And they've sent back, the only thing they sent back was send Ethan White. So they send him through to 2474. They send him forward to there. They say, hey, just go there, get the power working, and then we can do whatever we want. We'll have a time machine then, and we can go to the future. Obviously, everything's cool because we got a ping back. And then, so he goes to the future. He's not there very long. His friend Jude shows up, and things go terrible. One of the first things Ethan encounters is his dead body. So he knows something's wrong, and then he finds the Archie, the device that it's like, what's the device in Quantum Leap? Sam. No, not Sam.
No, it's a female's name.
Ziggy. He's
got a Ziggy.
He uses the future Ziggy to realize that he's been shot. And so he can't really figure out what's going on. And him and Jude get there, and Jude just like gets him on track. Just like, hey, we got to just go fix this nuclear reactor so we can have power, so this can work, blah, blah, blah. Then the mystery just slowly starts to unravel. And as everybody in these movies, even though the entire human race is at stake, Ethan doesn't give a shit about that. He just wants to save his wife, which is very sweet, but we have humanity to think about, people. We have everybody to think about. And so he finds out, so as he's peeling back the onion, he realizes that his dad is the one who built the time machine. So they got their first ping back when Ethan was 8, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And they waited 20 years? What?
Yeah.
I realized that they didn't want to send an 8-year-old boy.
But when he was like 25, right? What would have been wrong with that?
Yeah. Now, the one thing we do, the first scene we see is him and Jude basically doing what they have to do in the future. So do you think that was the like, okay, now we can send him now that we can trust? Because basically they've got one shot at this.
Or maybe they ran out of options. Maybe there was no hope and they're like, okay, we got to send him.
I thought they got their first ping when
the dad knew about it.
When they got the message.
When Ethan was 8.
That's when they got the ping that there's oxygen.
No, that to send Ethan White.
That's when they got send Ethan White.
No, because they knew that Ethan was important because the dad told him that he's the only person that could turn it on.
But you saw the dad receive the message while he was still alive.
Dad didn't tell him that. Dad just told him he was important. He didn't tell him why.
No, yeah. He told the lady.
Maybe that it got worse. Maybe they ran out of options. The sickness is worse.
Yeah, they definitely weren't. This movie wasn't clear on like some really important aspects.
It just jumps to certain things.
Gloss over things.
By the way, this is a science podcast, right? I'm not a religious person, but I thought I'd look it up. For Jude, St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes, a symbol of choosing faith when all seems lost. You know, when he goes, I believe in you, whatever. Cheap, easy religious connotation.
Yeah.
I don't think so, is it?
So, but the father, right before the main lady shot the father told her that I've basically encrypted it so that my son is the only one that could turn it on in the future. And that's when she turned to the other scientist and said, can you get it to work? He said, yes. And then she turned back to the dad and shot him. And then she told the guy, like, your job now is to protect that boy.
Yes.
The Jude guy. But they did very briefly show that the father saw the message from the future that said, send Ethan when Ethan was 8.
Remember? Because he died when he was a kid.
So yeah, why did they wait so long?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things they didn't explain really well.
I mean, my first whole question is, if you got sent to the future through stepping into this machine, why and how could they do that if the machine wasn't turned on in the future? And how come he materialized up in the clouds and fell to the earth?
because they didn't want to accidentally send him into a mountain. They did that on purpose because if they didn't know exactly what the landscape looked like, so just to make sure that he didn't materialize inside of a mountain, they started him up high.
But that looked like if you fall from the clouds into the ground as a human, you will die, usually.
Well, that's what I couldn't really figure out, because I thought that his suit looked like it had a propeller on it. So I thought his suit was going to have some kind of a slowing device on it. So why they just had the suits somehow protect him from the fall?
But that doesn't make any sense, because if the whole point of this is to go from the time machine, from the present to the future, your link is from time machine to time machine.
You shouldn't be able to do space.
You should be able to just go to the time machine. You shouldn't have to.
Yeah, you'd be in the machine.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to materialize anywhere else if your link is from machine to machine.
Yeah, it shouldn't be time and space. It should just be time.
But the link.
It's like a tunnel between the time machine, the same machine in two different times.
Because then when you went. When he went back, it was from machine to machine. It just doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. There's a few flaws.
Yeah, it's a hole.
The link isn't from machine to machine, though. The machine just throws you into the future.
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. We will be back in a moment.
Hello. So I'm going to address the audience and you guys at the same time, and then we'll move forward. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We had a little technical difficulty last night, and we had to cut our recording short. The good news is we have all of the material we recorded last night. The bad news is who knows where we're going to pick up today. So we're going to just kind of jump in and start talking. And if we repeat ourselves, maybe I'll catch it in editing. And if we totally miss something, it's just because it got lost in our night's sleep somewhere.
I think we should start talking about the holes.
Holes! Holes!
Hold on. I do want to pick up where we left off.
Ah!
Okay.
There is one thing. Like I said, I know we're going to miss some stuff, but we were talking about just because this has to do with just how the machine works, which I think is important and will probably lead to plenty of holes.
Holes!
And the one thing this last 12 hours has opportuned me is a chance to watch the movie again.
Oh.
I have not watched the whole thing super close, but I've been doing a lot of editing and working in here today and other recordings. And so I've kind of had it on. And so I think we were having a discussion about why they had to launch Ethan into the air instead of
directly to the machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is answered. So that's because of the power failure. They're not tethered. So they can still slingshot him from one thing. And they talk about at the end, right before Ethan's dad dies, the one thing they talk about is, can you make it work without the other machine having power? And he says, yes, I believe there is some way to slingshot or catapult somebody into the future. And then they can fix the power grid there, fix that machine, and then re-tether them so then you can go from machine to machine.
So how did they get a ping with the machine not being on?
It's after he turned it on, right?
It's a radio wave.
He turned it on.
They sent a radio wave through the machine in the past into the future, and the radio wave was able to detect oxygen and then send it back.
I don't know if they detected oxygen. There's definitely a, this is where the problem, this actually leads to our hole, easy holes, that like the problem with time travel movies, when everything in time travel movies always moves ahead together, right? And that's not, that shouldn't be the way it is. You should be able to go to November 5th, 2030 at noon over and over again. And then if you realize that the power grid fails at 12:05, then you can just send somebody to 11:55. But in this movie, they send the radio wave comes back, and then conveniently, that's when the power failure happens. But since everything is moving forward in the present and the future, they trick us into believing they can't just send the radio. They can't. They have to go ahead 407 years. They have to go ahead exactly 407 years instead of, why don't you just go ahead 406 years before the power failure happens?
But okay, so I'm confused because the whole point of the machine was to continue to search through time to figure out when there was oxygen.
Right.
So They kept doing that. And they finally got a response back that said there's oxygen.
Was that from when he turned it on, though? Was that from when Ethan turned on the system, potentially?
Maybe.
That would explain why it's that year.
Maybe that's from the first catapult.
That would explain why it had to be then, because he turned the power back on and then they got readings. But it's also like the future is not the present. So for them, it was always available after Ethan got there, even though for us, it just happened.
Well, okay. So, you know, spoiler alert, we assume all of our listeners have seen this movie. So Ethan was the one who sent the message back, right? So,
yeah.
So Ethan went into the future and he was the one who sent the message, send Ethan to the past, and his dad saw it and then put the bracelet on him. And then however many years later, he went into the future.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how long it took. That's the one thing I didn't figure. It took them 20 years to figure out how to send matter through. That's why it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we were talking last night about why they didn't just send a 15-year-old Ethan to speed this thing along.
Because at one point they were doing experiments on like a clock, right? They sent a clock through and the one they got back was a different time.
And that was right. That was the last test they ran before they sent Ethan.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they couldn't run a bunch of tests because there has to be a ticking clock, tick tock, tick tock. And so to test it again would have possibly
used too much power. It was going to use too much power. Yeah. And of course, you know, they followed the universal law of time travel movies, which is speed through the science of how they're doing what they're doing.
Yes.
To make it seem more official and, you know.
Because the one problem, the huge problem is maybe it's because the clock is, and this clock was fucked up. Like it barely made it. But if they could send the clock and return the clock, why couldn't they send Ethan? Obviously, the clock had to be tethered because there would have been no other way to get the clock back.
Yeah, that to me could be a hole too, because they send the clock and got the clock back with a different time. But their intention was to never bring people back. Their intention for this device was to just send people there.
Right. But they still would have gotten Ethan back when Ethan fixed it. Ethan would have come back and that would have been the final test.
Right. He was going to come back. They were going to kill him and they were going to go in the future.
I say, okay.
That would have proved the tethering was ready.
Okay.
More holes.
More holes. So Ethan finds, when he first goes to the future, he finds a dead person in outside the bunker. He wipes off the name tag. And what's the name? It's Ethan White. It's him. There's a bullet hole in the head, it appears.
It's a skeleton.
A skeleton of him. Must have been there for a long time.
Like 407 years?
Yeah. Yeah. So as we were last night, you guys were talking and I was just mulling in my head. I was like, wait a minute. You asked if it was a loop. And I just said, no, it's not. Oh, wait, it is. And I said, wait, this doesn't make any sense at all. So obviously the intention is supposed to be that somehow they're suggesting he had gone back and they had shot him. But in all of this kind of storytelling, there's no reason to believe there's a loop at play here.
Well, that doesn't really prove a loop.
Well, it doesn't make that saying he already went to the future, went back to the past, got shot, and some other version of himself also now came to the future. How does that make any sense?
Well, until Jude shoots himself, it's a loop.
But he already saw himself there. It happened prior.
Ari?
So, yeah, I can try to explain this. So what I took it as when they showed the skeleton that was him was this person from the present went to the future, fixed it, and then went back to the past.
Right.
And died.
Right.
Okay. So when he came back to the present and died, he then was there 400 years, you know, rotting to be into the future, which is where he originally went. So to me, it's not a loop. So
yeah, it's not a loop.
The original, you know, he had that recording on his little smart device of him getting shot, somebody getting shot, right? It sounded like a struggle and a shot. So I took it as what happened, right? Because,
oh, I think I got it.
So he left the present at 1 o'clock and came back at 2 o'clock, right? Because time is continuing, and then died, and then his body stayed there into the future. So even though he went at 1 o'clock, his body is there because at 2 o'clock it was already there. So
I get that. I'm just saying if If there's one timeline and he went through, went back and died, then how is there another one of his going to the present? The only thing I'm getting from you, I think, is that
it's not another
in
one.
In his future, right? He arrives in the future. Yeah, what you're saying, like, let's say he's arriving in the future at 2 p.m. When it becomes 3 p.m., he will go back in time and get shot, which is why he saw himself there. So it's a future that didn't happen yet.
Yes.
And then theoretically, like you're saying, once the guy shot himself in the head, that guy shouldn't be, the skeleton's not outside anymore. And that got erased.
Yeah. So
it was his possible future that went into the past.
It'd be like me going ahead 200 years and finding my gravestone.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just because of time travel.
Right.
It's whipped back on itself.
Yeah.
I get it. But it didn't happen. And so he's changing a timeline that was.
But it did until.
It did happen.
It did. And then he changed it.
And he changed it because this is ripple effect. So
I get it. But if there's only one timeline, if it's not a loop, how is he changing? There's no changing. There is just what is. There is just what he does.
Because he sent something back that changed the future. And because it's a ripple effect, it changed the future. He sent back all those plants.
I know, but this is before. He saw the skeleton before that.
Right. Because.
Right. Because that was his future until.
So there was an original timeline, right? Everything already happened. This plays into your theory. Everything has already happened, right? So in the original timeline, he jumped ahead and saw that he had jumped ahead, jumped back, and died, and that his skeleton was still there. So when he jumped ahead, his skeleton is there. It's like Desmond said with your gravestone.
But if that's already, if that, everything that has happened has always happened, then he would have already seen, he would have always seen the dead version of himself, and he would have always made the same choices to avoid that happening.
That's what makes this movie unique, is that they do change their mind.
Yeah.
Jude.
He has all the same stimuli he's always had. So it doesn't make sense that he would do something different. Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't see. We've come to assume that by watching these movies, but I don't necessarily believe if you went back in time a million times and went to the same restaurant, eventually you'd get the fucking hamburger instead of the spaghetti.
That's not the same. So, though. This is not a loop, though.
That maybe this it could have been a loop for 1,000 times.
It's not a loop. This is not a loop. I want to say that very emphatically. This is not a loop. This is this is one timeline that happened a certain way, right? And then and then when you went into the future and did something different than the original timeline, instead of him going back and getting shot, he sent back plants. And he stayed in the future.
He changed the timeline, but that suggests that the timeline happened.
Yeah.
That's where it's got flaws.
This is in the original timeline, he didn't eat the berries.
How do you know that?
Because Jude didn't shoot him until he went back to the present. So we have no proof that Jude even came with him the first time through.
Well, he heard the recording and that was Jude shooting him.
In the present.
I mean, it's not clear when that was.
His skeleton, it was after they fixed it.
The skeleton clearly was in the present, clearly died in the present.
Which is where Jude shot him. We don't have any proof that Jude went through him the original time through.
Yeah, that's true. We don't. So.
It could have been when the woman originally says, he's going to come back to our time. We're going to shoot him. Then we're all going to go through. So it could have been that.
Yeah.
It could have been. Yeah. Anyone could have.
But it's still suggesting that time has already happened. He went back and say got shot. And yet here he still is.
Is it messing you up because it's in the future? Think about it. If it was in the past, you're going into the past, right? Time has already happened. You're someone's
right.
Skeleton is
maybe
there.
Maybe it's that he's changing.
Someone's skeleton is there. If it's, you know, and then you go into the past, change it. And the skeleton is not there when you get back to the present.
I know, but you're saying changing, meaning it already happened a certain way.
Oh, Desmond has drawn a picture.
I was going to say, even though he goes to the past, it's still one timeline.
Right. Yes, it's one timeline.
And this is where Scott, I think Scott is dead set on the physics that what's happened has happened, will always happen, no matter how many times it happens. And this movie is proving that not to be the case. And I can get on board with that.
Well, yeah, any movie can make any choice that they want to. I'm just trying to get logic out of it.
I mean, this is a fun concept because this is original. This is going into the future.
Yeah.
Seeing your dead body from the past.
Which is your future self that will go to the past and become that dead body that you're seeing now. Yeah.
Yeah, this is original. This is a fun concept.
The more I've thought about it, the more this movie has some issues as a film.
Yeah.
But as a time travel movie, the more I sit on it, I think it's really smart. Like it's what, like you said, Ari, I think if this movie had been 90 minutes, it would have been way better. And I think one of the biggest things is that it goes off on some great, I don't want to say tangents, but like it really kind of like the time we spend in his old apartment when he finds his dead wife.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's a heartfelt moment and it gives the movie feelings, but it kind of drags it down. And then when they try to bring you back into the science of the time travel and the cool story they're telling, you're kind of like, wait, what's going on? And then they'll say something sciencey and you're like, that doesn't make sense. But it kind of does if you actually piece everything together. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's an original idea. There's definitely some holes and there was definitely some like unnecessary scenes, like when they're trying to fix the reactor and it's in that room and he's got to close the door and get rid of all the oxygen just to pull the lever. Like, why did you have to close the door and get rid of all the oxygen just to pull the lever?
Yeah, he doesn't end up sacrificing himself. That was the moment, sure.
So there's like unnecessary. They just needed a little more action and stuff.
Because they're just wandering around. They're just walking around in front, walking around inside. They're just not doing much.
Yeah, there was a lot. The visuals of this movie were really great, you know, where they showed the world burning and the last city alive. Yeah.
The director did visuals for The Matrix, I looked at. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, one of the things I wrote down before I gave it more thought was, why the fuck would they have society's only hope working in the most dangerous job in the world? Like, why wouldn't they give this guy an office job? But they need him trained.
For the power thing.
They need him, yeah, to be able to actually pull off the job in the future. So Jude is keeping him safe while also training him to be able to pull that job off.
Yeah, it's interesting because the original plan was keep this kid alive, get him trained. When we are capable, when we figured it out, we send him into the future to turn the machine on. We have him come back and then we all just go into the future and start our new life.
Oh, no, it was to have the cure, to find the cure.
Well, that's what they said.
That's what they told
him. That wasn't the actual what they were intending
was. Oh, I thought you were talking about what the original plan they told everybody was. Like, that's what his dad built the machine for.
Was to find the cure, yeah.
Yes.
And that's what they told the guy, Ethan. But the lady who, you know, the main lady, the bad guy lady, her plan was to just, this, you know, there's no saving the Earth here. We just, let's skip ahead where there's oxygen and start over. And because he found a cure, I guess. He sent back some plants and that flower.
Well, he just sent back the opportunity for real oxygen. The sickness was in the fake oxygen that the company was producing.
So the present just needed plants.
Yeah.
Okay, so he sent back a bunch of plants, but that was just a one-time use? He couldn't send himself back?
In theory, he could have, but he wanted to make sure that the machine in the future was destroyed so it didn't get taken advantage of anymore.
He wanted to help, but he wanted to beat the system and not let them come through and their evil plan.
By sending the plants into the past, it broke their machine.
Well, no, he destroyed his machine in the future after he sent the plants.
He did? When? He did?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I thought he did. Either he did it with the plants or without the plants. But the goal was he wasn't going to let them win and he wanted to help the future. And it was a good plan.
Yeah.
And he also sent Archie back with a message to the news that these people were bad news. So he sent the plants back and he got the people taken out of power that were trying to manipulate the system.
Yeah.
And leave humanity behind.
And then when he walked to that waterfall, again, that shot that they loved, and saw that there were people there and that, you know, this new civilization had it had worked.
Yep.
Yeah. And so then he got to stay in the future.
Yes, he did.
Which is pretty cool.
For 400 years, that's going to be, it's a lot of adapting.
He's going to be a fucking god, though.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, like, wouldn't there be like a party waiting for him outside of the hatch as soon as that?
Yeah, like they know the date.
Yeah.
Totally. When it happened, they had to, right?
Like, yeah, like the fact that there wasn't fireworks and.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He would be famous.
Yeah, he's going to be a god.
Plant Lord, the sequel.
The boy from the movie.
Yeah, there were a lot of great things about this movie, but then equally there were a lot of not great things. So it like balanced it out to make this movie just be okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Leveled out.
Yeah, leveled out. It's okay.
So just because, not necessarily in the machine itself, the machine isn't intrinsically bad, but because of the way they use it, is this the most ethically terrible time travel movie we've ever seen?
Wait, why? Ethically, why?
Because they're, she's only going to take like 20 people.
Oh, yeah.
To the future. She's not taking a few thousand. She's like taking her Saturday night dinner party crew, and that's it.
I feel like we've seen corrupt, self-preserving time travel before, haven't we?
But like, there's a certain number of people that you need to repopulate the Earth. Otherwise, you're going to start having babies with like your second cousin. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You go there with 20 people, that first day is like, oh, we're here. And then they have to look at each other like, okay, well, who's
because again, to put a clock on this movie that didn't, you know, just to make it, just to heighten the excitement, there's like, they have like 30 seconds to get everybody through and then they're done.
Yeah. Which is like, why all of a sudden?
And it's all just, like I said, no one in that group looks like they're going to be good hunters. You know, no one's gathered in 50 years.
Plus, when he was over there, there was a butterfly, but there was no birds. There were no animals. There were no fruit trees. Like, they have to bring other things.
There's nothing to hunt. It's like, there might be water, but nothing but microbes in that water. Okay, Ari, there's a time machine, but it's a slingshot time machine. And all you have is a protective suit and a prayer to go. You get to go in the future though, Ari.
Okay, so you're asking me if I would use this machine going in the future, not knowing what I'm going to find there and potentially not coming back.
Well, mostly, yes, all of that is true. Mostly, I just want to know if you were going to be dropped like the way he was. Like I said, instead of going tether to tether, he was just Hail Mary'd into the sky, into the future.
Would I do it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big part of me that says yes, because of course I want to see the future, but I mean, that's very risky.
Yes, it is. At least in their
future. Did they explain how he survived a fall from the clouds?
Well, see, he doesn't actually fall. That's just the world materializing around him. I mean, he fell from a fucking high place, but I think he fell from a couple hundred feet in the air. He didn't fall from the upper atmosphere. Like, we saw it like that because...
Oh, just for like artistic, psychedelic.
Because he kind of went into a black hole like a... what's that movie you like, Scott?
Interstellar?
Yeah. Kind of, it was...
We didn't bring it up.
There was a half a second of interstellarness there. Like, it was really silent and he had that awesome breathing. And then the world started to materialize around him. And it kind of materialized from the ground up. So it looked like he was falling from that far. But once everything was there, he seemed to be falling, like I said, a couple hundred feet. And apparently the suit was going to save him. I don't know why, like I said last night, I don't know why they didn't equip it with some kind of a hover device or...
Or a parachute.
Hey, there you go. Those exist.
Jeez. Think ahead, people.
It was fireproof, at least. They definitely made a point to show that there's enough oxygen for things to burn in the future.
You'd be slingshotted?
I mean, yeah, you know, if it ends up like this movie, and you know you'll be fine, yeah, but most likely no.
It seems like whenever you do 400 years, it's not like you're going to the future that's like, oh, such advanced technology. You're going to like the post-apocalyptic redo, rebirth of the planet, which is more primitive than where you are now, right?
Humans have destroyed the Earth.
Yeah, that tends to be...
Because making this exact trip, fuck no. I wouldn't go 400 years in the future. Well, I guess I keep forgetting that he was planning on seeing some people when he left, but that was the lie they told him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe you'd have some time. I mean, this technology exists, so maybe you could get in there and be like, hey, I'll do it, but let's fix the landing.
People. Would you guys use it?
It's a one-way ticket to 400 years in the future. I mean, it doesn't sound appealing to me because it's either the post-apocalyptic world and you're just there by yourself, or it's a future that you are so far behind. Like, just think about it. Someone from 100 years ago was frozen and just wrote today how helpless they would be with this technology. That's 100 years. It's 400 years. It would be a difficult learning curve one way, and I'd have to have like no friends or family that I'm not going to see. It would have to be only to save the Earth, or I have no friends, family, jobs, or any reason to stay alive in this present.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first brought it up, I was like, fuck yeah. But yeah, a one-way trip that far in the future.
It's not like it's 40 years in the future.
Yeah.
Ooh, we finally got self-driving cars, a regular.
I have a feeling if we went 40 years in the future, there'd be a new iPhone. Like, ooh,
yeah.
The iPhone 20.
Oh, it does retina scan, finally.
Yeah. That's the one thing, like, I was using my credit card the other day, and like, it took me forever because it was a machine I don't use very often, and all the buttons were in a different place, and all the prompts were different. I was just like, that's the one thing about all futuristic movies. Like, everything's always, like, everyone has the same chip reader.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Everyone has the same glasses or something like that.
I'm ready for retina scan for everything. I don't want any more passcodes. I don't want to sign in. I don't want to do any login info. I want to scan my retina. Bad. Cool. You're good. We got your info.
You know who I am. Let's go. Everyone.
But then the eyeball theft is going to really skyrocket.
Like in Minority Report.
Uh-huh. Eyeball theft. And I really don't want someone to carve out my eyeballs. That's one of my least favorite tortures.
Yes.
That'll be our next top 10 list, folks. Our top 10 favorite tortures.
Speaking of eyeball theft, thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are time_pop_pod. That is @time_pop_pod. Time Pop Pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any other past episode to the same address, timepoppod@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality, the Wheel of Time, fitness, nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Thank the Light, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Scott.
Bye.
Oh, what a smooth segue. It makes perfect sense.
I knew you'd set me up. Speaking of segues, what are we watching next?
That was another bad segue. Well, we do have Hulu for this month. So if we wanted to do Palm Springs, that could be a thing.
Oh, it's a thing. We're gonna do it. We are going to do Palm Springs next, which I have never seen. You guys watched it a long time ago. Do you remember it very well? Are you excited for this rewatch?
Loosely.
I remember.
We're back to Loopsville, friends.
Yes.
I mean, back to Loop Day. Loop Day Films.
I remember it.
Do you? Are you gonna just...
You gonna phone it in?
Watch it from memory.
No, I'm going to watch it again.
Oh, yes. For our next podcast, we are doing Palm Springs Rated R from the great year of our Lord 2020. Exactly 90 minutes. Right where movies need to be. Directed by Max Barbaco. What else has he done? What makes him the time travel specialist? Absolutely nothing. Who the fuck is this guy? All right. Well,
Max Barbaco.
Starring Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, J.K. Simmons. He's a two-timer now, isn't he?
Probably.
Peter Gallagher, Meredith Hagner. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm excited to finally watch this. This is one of those that, like, I've wanted to watch, and I've been saving it for the show and just haven't gotten around to it. And here we are. Another great Loot movie. Oh, he's in the Tomorrow War. So he's at least a two-timer. And that wasn't even the one I was thinking of.
I forgot everything that happened in the Tomorrow War.
I know.
It's a full film I've seen, and I remember almost zero.
I feel like we could go back to episode one and this would be a whole...
Do the same movies with new perspectives.
We'll change the name of it. We'll change the name of the podcast and just start over and no one will know. You know what I'm going to do just to make this a fun time travel thing? I think I'm going to put this part of the show at the beginning. And then I'm going to put everything we recorded last night at the end.
What?
It's time travel. You never know what you're going to get on Time Pop, baby.
It's such a terrible design flaw.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.